Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. My name is Will Brueggemann.
And I am Carl Brueggemann. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I've been excited to do this episode for a while. This will be kind of a nice change of pace.
Yeah, this will be very different than anything else we've ever done on the podcast because, as we might have said last week, everything that we're playing today is all original compositions by either Carl, myself, or Martin, our other brother.
And specifically video game compositions. So we're not just, you know, playing anything. We're playing video game music because it just so happens that all three of us, I'd say mostly me, I mean, I kind of have had a dream to be a video game composer for a while, but it's also something that Marty and Will have definitely dabbled in and something they, you know, enjoy as well. So we all compose lots of original video game music. So we thought, you know, when we started this podcast, that was never really the plan to play this stuff. But we thought that might as well. Is that, you know, we were trying to think of different things to spice up the podcast and different, you know, different things we can do to change it up. So we thought, you know, we have a lot of this music. Might as well play it because who knows? Maybe some people will enjoy it. So
yeah. And when we say video game music, it's not just like chiptunes. It's not just about taking instruments and making. We're really compositionally trying to be, well, in my case, I was trying to be limited by, because I have some NES tracks, but with Carl and Marty and all of us, it's all about like finding a sound of a specific composer and either trying to emulate it or picking a specific genre.
Or even if it's not that conscious, for some of the tracks, it's just knowing that I just have that inspiration. Like, for me, some of them were very purposefully modeled, but a lot of them is just I had that inspiration, and I was kind of just going for a general feel of a certain series or a certain composer.
By that, I think he means Sonic.
Yeah, in general. In general, I would say
In case, again, if you're not familiar, Carl is the composer of the three Sonic-esque albums, which have gotten fairly popular on YouTube.
Yeah, I hope that over the next couple months and years, that they will get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, but you should definitely check those out because we're going to be playing a lot of music from them. This is Skyway Station. This is from Sonic-esque Volume 1. I think this is an incredibly catchy piece of music. It's really beautiful. It's one of my favorite Carl Brueggemann video game compositions.
Yeah, with this one, I didn't use authentic Genesis instruments other than the drums. So everything else is actually more modern, like the bass, the leads, the chords. The only thing that's from Genesis is the drums. But a lot of tracks we're going to hear today from the Sonic S stuff uses all entirely Genesis instruments.
So could you give us like a little introduction on how you came to approach to write this song and how you were inspired by Masato Nakamura in particular, and how did that affect into your composition of this piece?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit of the backstory of the Sonic S in general. I never planned on doing any of that stuff, but I was just, my music in general always has a video game quality to it, and a lot of people say it sounds like Sonic. That's just my natural compositional, sensibilities. So one day, a couple years ago, I was on the keyboard and I came up with this just little melody, and I was really happy with it, and I kind of elaborated on it, and it turned into what is known as now Crooked Caverns, which was the first Sonic-esque song I did. At that time, I didn't really know it was Sonic-esque, but that kind of inspired me to start this whole project of, I want to create a whole album of Sonic-style tunes.
Right.
So I did that one, I did this one next, and this one, in general, it's just I wanted to kind of have a more of a laid-back, slower, kind of swung feel, but definitely I was trying to evoke a little bit of the Masato kind of jazziness and some of his melodic ideas.
Right.
And like that one color that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that was like I was really trying to go for the Sonic 2.
I was just going to say that.
Kind of, he does that a lot. There's a lot of songs that have that kind of ascending, harmonized type of
Well, I would even say in the first Sonic game as well.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, so I did that, and then after this track is when I actually when I discovered VOPM, which is a VST plugin that emulates the sound chip of the Genesis. So then after at this point, the rest of my tracks from then on out actually sounded just like they were actually from the Genesis. So that was kind of cool.
Right. So that's really cool. And just
that was Skyway Station.
That's just a little background on, because a lot of the music that Carl's going to be playing today is from those Sonic-esque albums. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that it was almost like his calling. He's always been writing video game style music. But I think it was a great avenue and a really cool opportunity that you discovered that you had a lot of that in you. And
yeah,
you were
and
able
was,
to make these albums.
It was a lot of fun to do. And it was great to hear all the amazingly positive responses from people and people that just really enjoyed it and that, you know, downloaded on their iPods, and I got comments from people, oh, I listen to this every day, and it just feels so good to create something that so many people can enjoy, because that's never really the whole goal. I mean, the whole goal is I make something, I think it sounds cool, I want to show it, and if one person likes it, I'm happy.
Right.
So it's always fun when that happens.
Well, I think before we move on, there's just a couple things that I'd like to talk about. One thing, just another reminder. In about two episodes, we're coming up on our 25th episode. And wow. that's a really, to us, that's a huge achievement.
It's a milestone, yeah.
Because that's more than, obviously, 25 weeks that we've been doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really exciting for us to see how far we've come, both in our, like, abilities to talk about music and just the variety of music mm-hmm. that we've played. I think we're both really proud of the work that we've done.
Oh, definitely.
But just another reminder, that's something to really look forward to, because that will be a very special podcast, mm-hmm. unlike anyone that we've had so far.
Indeed.
And we
next
hope
week
to,
will be very cool as well.
Right. We hope to go out a little bit with a bang on that one, because like we said, we're going to take a short break before what we call season two will mm-hmm. start. Sometime maybe in the fall, hopefully.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, next week, we'll talk a little bit about next week. Next week is going to be called Spotlight on Sound Effects. And you might be thinking, wait, that's not music. This is a video game music podcast. Well, you know, we're going to take a little bit of a departure, spice things up a little bit.
Right.
I think a lot of people will find it very interesting. So that should be a lot of fun. That'll be next week. But yeah, I think we should just maybe just keep going with the music we're going to play today.
One more thing before we get into the music is, last week, it's very apparent to us that we made more than one error with crediting composers.
Yeah, so last week, it was mostly my fault. I think I made two errors. The first error I made is I was talking about the Chrono Cross music, and I said it was composed by Yasunori Mitsuda, which it was. That's correct. He also did Chrono Trigger, but I mistakenly said he was one of the guys who worked on Rockman Forte, and that wasn't true. That was I was thinking of Naoshi Mitsuda. For some reason, I got those mixed up. Naoshi Mitsuda went on to do some later Final Fantasy titles, so I got those two mixed up. And then also, we played that Balloon Fight theme, and I said it reminded, or not the Balloon Fight theme, what was it? It was one of the NES ones. It was
Bionic Commando.
Bionic Commando, which was composed by Junko Tamiya, and I said it was the guy. First of all, it's a female, so that's one thing. And I said it was the person who composed the Batman game and Blaster Master, and that is not true.
Right. In fact, I believe Junko Tamiya composed Little Nemo, the Dream Master.
Yeah, that was the only game on the podcast that we've actually played of hers, but the Naoki Kadaka was the one who actually did Blaster Master and Batman. So, apologize for those errors. So, if you notice those and we're cringing, we apologize for that. So, all right, I think we can probably now move on to the the music.
So, what's the first track that we're going to play?
So, the first track we're going to play is another one from Sonic Esque Volume 1 that I composed. This track is one of the more heavily modeled songs on a specific level from Sonic. This is heavily modeled on Mystic Cave Zone from Sonic the Hedgehog 2. This song is called Shadow Cliff. Here we go.
So that was Shadow Cliff from Sonic S Volume 1. Carl composed that one. And one thing that you'll probably notice right away if you're familiar with the music from Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is that it starts off very similarly instrumentally. It uses that sort of theremin instrument, which is also used in, if you remember, Mystic Cave Zone. And also, I believe he's using the same bass instrument,
yep,
which
right.
is very iconic as well. And one thing that I like is he's compositionally trying to emulate the tone and the style of Masato Nakamura in this specific track as it compares to Mystic Cave Zone. But what I like is it's not like rhythmically modeled after it or like melodically very similar. It's just taking that sort of that general tone of like, let's have something sort of devious and kind of funky. And then he used similar instruments. So that's what I really like about this, because it doesn't sound like a ripoff. And if you've never heard Mystic Cave Zone, I believe that this would also be really interesting and impressive in and of itself. I really like this track.
Cool, yeah. And this happens to be probably so far my most popular Sonic Esque track. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing to note.
Well, that's cool.
So we're going to move on now to a track that Will composed. This is called Title Screen. This is one of his NES tracks. Do you want to talk a little bit about this one, Will, before we play it?
Yeah, actually, I started writing this NES-esque style music
a while. Nice.
Yeah, NES-esque is sort of what I'm calling it.
That's
but,
cool.
I started writing this a while back. I think it was after Carl's Sonic-esque albums. And as Carl says, he's really inspired by Masato Nakamura and Sonic the Hedgehog. I find myself equally inspired by Koji Kondo. Mm-hmm. And so this really started for me as a way, because I wanted to write some like Koji Kondo-esque music. And what it ended up being is you'll hear a little bit of that in some of the chords. And
I hear
harmonics.
A little bit of Mario 2. I hear a little bit of
but what
Zelda.
I ended up doing is for each track that I made for like the different NES tracks, they're each sort of modeled after a specific game. Mm-hmm. So this isn't really modeled after one in specific. I was sort of inspired by Mario 2 and Yoshi's Island a little bit, but I think it ends up just sounding like its own piece of music. So that's why I call it NES-esque and not like Kondo-esque.
All right, well, here is Title Screen. This is Title Screen, composed by Will Brueggemann. Definitely has traces of Yoshi's Island in the very simple, singable lullaby quality of the melody. I definitely noticed that. But for me, yeah, very Mario 2-ish. My favorite section of the song is that B section, that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's a great use of the limited channels. I know one of the things that Will spend a lot of time on is trying to emphasize the chords as much as you can, only using sometimes one instrument to do it. And so this part here is what I'm talking about, is a really good use of that. It's, you know, arpeggios is the best way to emphasize chords with one instrument, and this is kind of a fun way to do that. And then here, the bass cuts out in order to join that harmony there, which is, again, you don't really notice it when you're listening to it, but it's one of those things that you hear in the NES. Like, there'll be a bass line and it'll be forced to cut out in order to add a harmony. So that's kind of something I like, how that bass cuts out there.
Part of that is I probably could have composed it in a way where it would have been more seamless, but I thought it would have sort of a charm, because I really wanted people to notice that I was limiting
myself to the
three channels.
It was kind of a purposeful thing. Yeah, you wanted to almost purposely make it really noticeable that you only had three, because that's kind of your main driving force behind a lot of those songs. Yeah.
Right.
Very cool.
Awesome. So the next track is called Magnet Mines, and this is from Sonic-esque Volume 2. So this is after he made the first volume, and it started to become fairly popular on the internet. He went back almost immediately to compose this second album, and I was sort of there with him during the whole creation, and I remember that being pretty exciting because I felt this album is where it really stepped up as far as like trying to sound like Sonic, and he used a lot mm-hmm. more VOPM instruments.
Yeah, I think this is probably my best Sonic-esque album, I would say.
Right. It's a lot more fast-paced, and it's more closely modeled to the style, mm-hmm. but a lot of them aren't really modeled specifically after.
Yeah, we played a track already from this a while back. We played Diamond Dash Zone.
Oh, right.
That
right.
was on our Sonic the Hedgehog episode, actually. So that was a track from the Sonic-esque Volume 2, but this one we're going to play is a lot more, it's not as fast. It's a little bit more laid back.
Right. This is a really cool track, so this is called Magnet Mines. Enjoy. Magnet Mines from Sonic-esque Volume 2. One thing that I really love about Carl's compositional style is that you can tell just by listening to this, and I think even like the other tracks that we played, he's very rhythmically inclined. That's because he's a drummer, but rhythmically he's just inclined to do really creative things. And to me, one thing that stands out in this piece is the like one thing that I really like also about his melodies is it's not only good notes, he has a good, he knows how to create melodies that are really catchy because of what they're doing rhythmically. Mm-hmm. Not only what note they land on at a specific time, but what type of rhythm in and of itself sounds really catchy, which is so good for Sonic music because one of the big things about it is that it's singable and it's really memorable. So I think that's something that Carl naturally does in all of his music. It's, to me, it's all really catchy, but I think in specifically for Sonic music, it's perfect, and I can't think of anyone else who would be able to emulate it quite like that.
Well, thanks a lot, Will. That's really nice to hear. I think, like you said, it is kind of always a natural thing for me. The rhythm is usually always just in the forefront. I'm always thinking about the groove, partly because I'm a drummer. And I think that's the reason why Masato's music resonated so much with me is because, you know, he's a bass player, so he was always thinking about the groove as well. So, I mean, that's something that that's one of the reasons I love the Sonic music is because rhythmically it's just, oh, it's so grooving. So that's something that I always respond to. So,
right.
All right, we're going to move on now to one of Will's. This is called Underwater. This is another NES-esque track of his. And this is definitely, I guess he wanted to go for a Mario 1 type of an underwater feel as far as it's a waltz. So it's in 3/4. And it, again, just uses similar kind of ideas as far as like what each instrument is kind of doing. But musically, it's nothing like any underwater Mario themes. It's a lot more trippy, and it's a lot more kind of disorienting and actually really appropriate for underwater. I think it would really fit in home in a Mario game, but it would be kind of a departure musically. So with that being said, here is Underwater.
Thank you.
This is Underwater. It's a cool track. The part when it's harmonized, it really emphasizes the whole tone scale quality of this melody. And when I hear that part, I see like a fat Mario for some reason. very, very trippy song. Really, really cool. I love when that harmony comes in. And there's that section that's kind of like a round. This part where it's like, dun, 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 where it goes back and forth. That's mm-hmm. really cool. That's probably my favorite part about the song.
Cool, thanks. One thing I think that also waltzes work for being really trippy because of the sort of like circular nature of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like, if you remember, the Sonic 1 special stage is a waltz,
mm-hmm.
and that the whole scenery and everything is very trippy, and I think, like, I wasn't really intending for it to be that way. I think it just sort of turned out like that, but I was a little bit also inspired by, like, the Mario 3 underwater theme.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really sound anything like it, but
it's cool. The only actual authentic NES sound you're hearing now is actually the drums. So obviously the actual instruments you're hearing, you're probably noticing, oh, it doesn't sound exactly like an NES. It was a different plugin, so it got close. But I mean, I don't think you were concerned. Oh, you weren't like dead set, I need to get it to sound exactly like an NES. You just wanted to get close.
I was using a plugin called Triforce, mm-hmm. which is made to be an NES thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't just using a random mm-hmm. synth plugin.
I think there's a lot of people that get
But I didn't use like some
Fammy
of Marty's
tracker,
later.
Yeah.
Some of Marty's later, he actually does like NSF programming.
Yeah,
so
he used a program called Fammy Tracker. So when you hear his stuff, it sounds like literally exactly like NES. But I think, I don't know, I kind of like the quality of these. Like, it sounds like something new that I haven't heard before.
Well, for me, I wanted to limit myself to the same channel. So I wanted to have, you know, one square, two triangles, and limit myself to like the only three channels thing compositionally.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I didn't really care if it would be able to be played on like an NES or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So the next one, we're moving to the next Sonic-esque volume. This is Sparkling Shore, and I absolutely adore this track. I remember when Carl, there's sort of interesting stories because as he was working on the second one, I was sort of really close to it, so I would hear every time he was working on a new song.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he got to this album, he lived a lot farther away, so I wasn't able to be as close while he was working on it. But there was a period in time where every single day he would finish a new song, and he would send it to me over email. And I remember listening to this one when I first heard it. I was so struck by the harmonics. To me, it's one of the most beautiful things that he's ever done, and again, it has that perfect use of like interesting rhythm because it has like a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- B section, which is really sort of cute and happy. I think, I mean, my natural reaction isn't to say that it sounds very Sonic-y, but I think it's one of the coolest pieces of music that Carl's ever written. So without further ado, this is Sparkling Shore from Sonic-esque Volume 3. That's Sparkling Shore from Sonic-esque Volume 3. One thing that you might notice, it has a very melancholy sound to it harmonically.
At least this section, yeah.
Also, I love that do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's used a lot in Sonic. Mm-hmm. But one thing that really sticks out to me instrumentally in that beginning, you have sort of like bell, sort of chimey instruments, which I remember from like Hydrosity Zone in particular. But Yeah, I love that melody. I love rhythmically whenever it lands that, and then like it really emphasizes it because of how long you hold on it and at what points in the measure you land on it, which is again what I'm talking about. Of not only does he have a good sense of like having a groove, but melodically, all of his melodies have like a really catchy like rhythm to them. It's really cool.
Thanks, Will. So we'll just fade this out here. We're going to move on now to a track of our third brother, Marty, one of his tracks. He kind of came up with this idea of, again, he wanted to model the Super Mario Brothers 1 music. So, but he actually really wanted to do it heavily. So he created this imaginary game called, or series called, Super Giuseppe Cousins. I think he actually talked about it. If you remember our breakdown and analysis, he talked a little bit about that. And I remember at one point we said we would play it, so we are going to play some of those today. So this is the overworld theme for what would be Super Giuseppe 3. Let's take a listen. It's incredibly, incredibly catchy. Here we go. This is Super Giuseppe 3 Overworld, and something I forgot to mention, it might have really been striking to someone, that very beginning is almost an exact like replica of the Mario 2, is it the Overworld?
Or no.
The title screen? The player select.
Character
yeah,
select.
So it's
different rhythmically.
Yeah, but if you listen to that, you might all of a sudden think, wait a second, no, this is from Mario 2, but then when the actual song kicks in, you realize, oh, this is a new song.
Well, and I mean, yeah. Koji Kondo didn't invent that. That's just a
simple. I'm just saying like it was definitely a purposeful thing. It was like a nod to that, you know? But this is, oh my gosh, it's such a masterfully composed track, evoking the kind of the old school show tuning quality of Koji Kondo's music.
Yeah, I mean, I think this speaks for itself, but I mean, it's when I first heard this, I'm just like, God damn, I love my brothers. Like, Marty is so talented, and we haven't really played much of his or any of his music so far on the podcast, and I know we've played a little of mine and a little of Carl's, but I mean, Marty is a fantastically diverse composer, and I mean, I just think this is so impressive technically and compositionally. Like, it's so authentic. It's unbelievably authentic.
And even the sounds, like, it literally sounds exactly like an NES because it was made on Famitracker. I definitely kind of wish Marty would do some more video game music because I think he would excel at it, definitely. So
okay, awesome. So getting that one over with, we're going to move on to another one of Carl's. This is actually one that he made fairly recently. For, I think he was intending to do like an album using like modern sounding instruments.
Yeah, so kind of my reasoning for this is recently I kind of decided to start a new project, and I wanted to make similar kind of sounding music like I did with the Sonic-esque stuff, but I wanted to make it with modern sounding instrumentation. So something that could come out for maybe like a space shooter or something like that. So musically, it's not incredibly different from a lot of my other stuff that I had done in the past, but I used a new program in a lot more better sounding synths and stuff for these.
Right, so this is called No Turning Back.
Thank you.
that's a really catchy track. No Turning Back by Carl Brueggemann. I don't even know what to say about this one. It's very reminiscent of Sonic Music, actually, because I feel like after he did...
Those arpeggios there are definitely Sonic-ish.
Right, but after he did those three albums, like... If he sounded like Sonic before, now he really sounds like Sonic.
And that's funny.
You might notice that these instruments all sound way nicer than the VOPM ones, and he actually used a little bit of his MO8 keyboard on it, but this was actually all composed and engineered in Reason.
Yeah. This project was kind of my first foray into Reason, and it's now a program that I kind of fell in love with it. I don't like exactly how it's intuitively designed, but it has just absolutely amazing sounds. So yeah, I have a lot of fun with that.
Again, rhythmically and like this, he really knows how to write a simple, catchy melody. Like that's so simple.
My favorite part about this song is how the bass line changes the second time. It starts with just going dun 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 dun, but the second time when it opens up the hi hat, and the bass goes dun 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 dun. I kind of like just those little changes.
Well, I mean, one thing you might notice about Carl's is it's very tight. And also, like, the drums, there's nothing, like, sloppy or amateurish about it. Because he's a drummer himself, it lays down this really solid rhythmic foundation. And a lot of people might not even notice it, but they're all, like, really interesting drum beats that he uses for all of his songs. And he's really good at inputting, like, drum samples, even on, like, if this were, like, a real rock song and he had, like... quality drum samples, like he could fool most people. He's gotten really good at doing the whole drum sampling thing.
Thanks, Will. Yeah, it definitely helps when you're an actual drummer in real life, because then you know what it should sound like and you know how to get over something that sounds fake, so that helps too. So
right,
coolness.
Sweet. What we got next?
Next, we're moving on to a track of Will's. This is called Race Game Menu. This is really fun. This one is one of my favorites of Will's. I mean, it's not like musically, like melodically, it's not as I guess strong as some of the other ones. But I don't know, it's a lot of fun, and I like how it's a lot more jazzy. It's a different genre than anything else we're playing of yours today.
Yeah, what I was going for is originally I was writing because I wanted to make like a racing game, like something F-Zero inspired or like an old like DOS racing game. And I came up with this melody, and we're actually not going to play that song on the podcast today, but then I tried like doing sort of a stereotypical jazz progression with the melody, and I really liked it, and I thought this would be cool to like have both of these songs, release both of them, and have one of them be like a menu and the other one be more like rock inspired and the other be more
so eventually
jazz.
he'll make that, and we'll have to play that on a later original showcase. But yeah, I love this. So this would be like the main menu of a racing game, and I think for me what it evokes and what he kind of went for a little bit with the instrumentation and the drums and stuff is like an early 90s PC like DOS kind of racing game. That's it.
Exactly.
Really sounds like that. So without further ado, here is Race Game Menu.
Thank you.
cool. That's a race game menu composed by Will. I love that melody. There's that devious, purposeful dissonance. That long note that he holds on is so dissonant. I remember the first time I heard it, I didn't like it. And it kind of, it's something that's grown on me. And to now I just, oh, I eat it up. And this part's really cool, this kind of C-section, that triplet feel. Right. Yeah, it's a really catchy song. For me, it's the most authentic video game song of yours that we're playing today, which is weird because it probably didn't put as much thought into it as a lot of your Koji ones, which are brilliant, but something about the...
Right. Well, I think I those compositionally sound more...
Very authentic.
Like, authentic.
Maybe it's just the way that these instruments turned out.
The thing is, these instruments turned out really well, and it's such a simple thing, so I had a little more emphasis on, like, the instruments, where, like, the other ones,
it's
I was more
It's a pretty groovy solo here,
on,
too.
Like, yeah, actually, the one thing I wanted to mention, and take a listen to this, can you bring it up a little bit?
Sure.
If you recognize this style, which maybe you would, I'm a terrible soloist, so I actually got Carl to do this solo. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty far into the track, and what I like, another thing, because I think Carl also agreed that it should have a solo.
Yeah,
like,
it'd be kind
old,
of a cool,
like, DOS music.
It's like a cool Easter egg. Like, why would you stay on the main menu for 3 minutes? But if you are still there, give you a little prize.
Well,
for
I remember
there.
Even like the Sonic 3 like menu. Like after a while, it doesn't have like a solo, but it changes up. The
or we were
flow
talking about
bit,
the other week, the Yoshi's
crazy.
Island title screen has that too. Where it's like most people wouldn't hear it, but it's kind of a cool Easter egg. Yeah,
and I know Carl does that on a lot of his because I mean he's a really jazzy like. Keys player, just naturally, that's sort of like the style that he plays in. So a lot of his music, it'll end up having a solo pretty far into it.
That's true.
And there's something I think is just really kind of like cute about hearing like a sort of authentic solo being played with those instruments.
On those crappy instruments, yeah.
And I know we've heard that before on music that we played in the podcast.
Yeah, oh, we definitely have. Like on that one golf game for the Genesis, I remember.
Right, so yeah, that solo is Carl Brueggemann. It's pretty over the top and goofy, but I love it. I think it's perfect.
Coolness.
Sweet. So the next track we're playing, I believe, is being utilized in a Sonic fan game, Sonic Classic 2.
That's correct.
Right now, and it's Drill Bass Zone. I think he released this on YouTube also, but this is one of his best tracks. It's very reminiscent of the style of Sonic Esque Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, this is Drill Bass Zone. This is tasty. I just love this. This is Drill Bass Zone, and once again, perfect melody. So simple. Just the fact that also, like, it repeats that idea, and, like, rhythmically, it's doing the same thing for the different parts. It's like old classical music does that, and that's why some of that is actually really memorable to, like, the common public that doesn't even listen to
that. Well, it's all about repetition. That's what it's all about.
But, like, look at Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, like, how it starts off, and it's using that same rhythm for each thing.
And that rhythm is catchy because it gets in your brain. Yeah.
And that's what I think is so well done, and that's what was used in old video game music a lot, and I just love it about this track. Like, the chords also, like, the rhythm, the doom, 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 like scalar, very simple, the melody.
And those chords, you hear those chords, so those chords are just used all over the place. They're not creative chords at all, but yeah.
That's what I like about it, though. It sounds very video gamey. That's really awesome. I really dig that one, especially that sort of like almost like a breakdown type of part, that and it's sort of
with those really harsh like biting instruments.
Yeah. Oh, that's catchy. That's gonna be great in that game.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that. I haven't really seen that level in action. I think I've seen like or may I think he actually just showed it to me, but I have high hopes for that level. We're going to move on now to a Will track. This is a cool track. This is called Bonus Game. Let's just play it, and we'll talk about it after. Game. I really like that one. The last chord, the augmented chord, is my favorite. Is my favorite part about it.
Awesome.
There's also that dun-dun-dun-dun was always something. It was another thing that at first I wasn't sure about it, but that dissonance can be so catchy. Like,
yeah.
In general, a lot of the Will's tracks we're playing today is really brilliant use of dissonance. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's. I think it's ironic because when I first started like writing music, that was one of the things I hated. Like,
yeah.
I really like the like just simple melodies that are pretty,
mm-hmm.
but I just as I kept writing, I really got addicted
well,
to that.
Well, you definitely have a lot of that in your music too. You definitely have a lot of simple melodies that are gorgeous.
Right. But, well, thanks. But one thing that I really wanted to do for this one, I wanted that because it starts off, which are actually similar chords to, I believe, the Ocarina of Time. Like, there's like a stage, I don't know, something reminds me of that. But also the melody, it's a little bit wandering and the chords are a little bit sort of wandering. I wanted there to be some tension in the piece because, like, if you're thinking about like a bonus game, whether you win or lose,
yeah.
So I wanted there to be tension, especially with at that chord, the augmented at the end, like you were talking about.
Another thing that I like about
it, I wanted
it
to be kind of like
is
dark.
How you didn't have it as full because you were purposely thinking about, which is so cool. A lot of times it wasn't using all the channels because you were thinking about, oh, if there would be a sound effect, because it's a bonus game, there are probably going to be lots of coin sound effects. So you kind of purposely did that in your composition.
Well, because like one
which
mistake
is really cool.
That Koji Kondo made in, I guess it's a mistake, in Mario 3, he had such beautiful sounding music, but some of it was placed in the wrong points. Like for his bonus stage, he just had a
which is great.
But like, for example, when you have the dun, 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 dun,
most
dun,
of it you can't hear because the
it's,
coins.
It's a brilliantly composed piece, especially for the NES, but you just, everything ends up getting cut out. So
remember we talked about that in, I think we had a bonus stage episode, and there was one track where I think it was just two channels, and it was an NES game.
Right.
I don't remember what game. And that was the same kind of thing where we realized that he was doing that because he wanted to save room for the sound effects.
Yeah. I think it's clever how that all works out, though.
Yeah.
Nice. So the next track we're playing is, we're going back to Sonic Esque Volume 2, and this is one of Carl's best pieces, I think, but just a little backstory. Carl's favorite Sonic song and one of his favorite pieces of music is Hydrocity Zone Act 2,
which is our track of the week for our Sonic episode.
Right. He super digs that one, and I love it as well. I think we all think it's great, but it, especially to Carl, like it's one of his favorite
it's
pieces.
It's one
of
my
of
favorite
music.
Pieces of music.
So
time.
One of the cool things that he did in Sonic Esque Volume 2 is that there's two songs that are Act 1 and Act 2, and he called it Hydropolis Zone 1 and Zone 2, which I thought was really clever, because on the first like act, it's like rhythmically sounds a lot like Hydrocity Act 1. It's a lot more jazzy and like
it's a
swung,
little
bit slower. And then the second one sounds a little bit more like R&B, kind of like
hip
hop.
Yep.
So rhythmically they're kind of inspired by those two tracks, but melodically it's very different. And it's such a cool song, especially if you're familiar with that game. So without further ado, Hydropolis Act 2.
We'll be right back.
is Hydropolis Zone Act 2. And one thing that you might not even notice is the form is so similar to that Hydrocity Zone Act 2. And it's so brilliant how he like studied it, because you're not hearing the first one, but he's taking the original melody from the jazzier Act 1. He's playing it faster in the beginning, and then as it moves on, it goes into this really catchy pop melody. This wasn't in the first act, and this is exactly what Hydrocity Zone Act 2 does. It starts off with like a different version
Of the same Act 1 melody.
Exactly.
And they go off in a new tangent.
Yeah, it goes on to this new catchy piece, and I think it's so creative how not only was he inspired compositionally and rhythmically, but he actually followed the form of those, and it's something kind of exciting, like all the different possibilities that he can do with the sonic music. I think this is one of the coolest achievements.
I think in general, for me, what's really fun is when I'm actually have a challenge of modeling something. I think for inspiration in general for art, I think when you have like a specific thing you're going for, or maybe a set of limitations,
right,
your art is going to be so much better than if you just do whatever you want to do. So for me, I've noticed that being the case. But
right,
we're going to move on now to, I'm really excited, I've wanted to play this track all day. This is great. This is a track of Will's, and this is called Mushroom Parkway. And this is such a catchy, happy song. This is definitely going for a Mario Kart vibe, but the instrumentation is a little bit nicer than something, let's say, Mario Kart 64. So it sounds like something that would fit in home and maybe like a Wii game.
I'm picturing like if there was an alternate universe where the new Mario Kart music
was actually good and melodic and true to the Mario Kart 64. But for me, I also hear, for some reason, I hear traces of Wii Sports Resort and just how incredibly happy and...
Right.
I don't know, something
about
it.
Oh, I think you're also the semi-jazziness of the second section is what sort of like the Wii Sports and like the Wii Shop channel and stuff is trying
to
do.
It sounds like a modern Nintendo Wii game. So without further ado, here is Mushroom Parkway. Mushroom Parkway. Oh, this track is so catchy. For some reason, that piano doubled with strings is just like the Wii sound to me. Like, this kind of sounds like maybe like a demo to like a Wii Sports Resort game or something. This could also be a title screen, but I don't know.
Right.
Whatever it is, this is just, that melody is so catchy and so simple. And then how it changes to going scalar major versus the scalar minor section, it stands out because it's incredibly striking, because your ear just got used to hearing that E natural, and then it switches to the E flat, and it's just like, I don't know, it's something really striking. And that moment is something that doesn't sound very Mario Kart-ish. So that's kind of the, I'm hearing more of Will Brueggemann's natural composition there.
Well, the funny thing about that, the reason why it doesn't sound like that, my original idea for this, the minor thing was the first thing I came up with, and I actually wrote this because I originally wanted to make a George Gershwin-type rhapsody, like Rhapsody in Blue, because I was really, I love that piece of music. It's one of my favorite pieces of music. And so I was sort of like going for that, and like I made a version that has all these other like movements to it. But I ended up only liking these first two sections. And I remember when I first showed it to Carl, he's like, oh my gosh, that sounds like Mario Kart. And
you never even planned on that. And then eventually you kind of turned it into an actual
video.
So
then with this, I completely like, I took out a lot of things, and I made it sound a lot more like Mario Kart.
Yeah, you were kind of like, oh, well, it's Mario Kart. All right, let's drive that home.
Yeah. It's just, I think originally like the chords, I think he sort of heard that, and there's one part even in the ending of the minor section. To me, the that reminds me of something from Double Dash,
and I love how it comes back to the do 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 do. It's like the only part of the song where the chords change, where the bass goes to a different note, and that's so great. It's such a release.
I think because I'm doing that flat six, flat seven, back to the one.
Yeah, it's just such a release, that part.
Next up, we're going to play the most recently composed track of the day. This was actually composed, like, I feel like less than a week ago by Carl. He originally was planning to have something else, but then he wrote this, and it is pretty damn good, so he wanted to play it on the podcast. This is called Man Rock Stage 1, and it's slightly inspired by Rockman and Forte. I know we've played a little bit of that music before,
which we both love so much.
And just before we get into it, a couple things that I'd like to say about this that are just so awesome are that the chords are really jazzy, and it's kind of like the Ground Man theme. The chords are kind of like that from Rockman and Forte. But what I like about it is the melody is so fast moving. It's unlike anything else Carl's written for video game music, because it almost sounds like a solo, except it repeats and it is catchy. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's pushing your brain to like how much information can you remember.
Yeah.
And it throws on different instruments as the song progresses. It's one that will definitely grow on you. So we're going to play the full song of this today. So this is Man Rock Stage 1. catchy as hell track is called Man Rock Stage 1. Everything about this I love. Like, the melodies are so well crafted, but like I said, they almost sound like perfect melodic solos at the same time. It's this crazy sound that like I've never really heard before, because it's really jazzy, but it's really like upbeat at the same time, and I can almost picture like rock instrumentation with it. Oh, that solo is so catchy. But like, it's just the melody is so fast for all the different sections, and just these,
and the
chords,
drums are very active.
Right, the drums
it's
are
almost like a
great
drum and bass kind of a beat that I'm
right
playing.
Na, 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 na. Like, what I like about that, that's again, Carl loves to land on a note and then keep landing on the note, or use like a repetitive rhythmic like hook. Like, that is the hook of the song. The da-na-na-da-na-na. That's what
almost
people are going
to
remember.
Like I do that, yeah.
Right. I love that. But he really knows how to, like, model those hooks. That's great. I just wanted to play it because I think that's one that really grows on you. Because at first, the melody might be a little, like, disorienting how, like, fast and, like, intense it is. But one of the reasons I think it'd be perfect for a video game is, as you listen to it, like the repetition over and over, almost kind of like, it's nothing like it, but kind of like how the Tiny Wings theme, the more you listen to it and they change up the instruments, it gets in your head and you really start to appreciate it.
Yeah, which is a sign of an effective video game piece.
This would definitely be effective and well composed to not get sick of it. I feel there's two ways to look at video game music. You can have it instantly catchy and then run the risk of have it get annoying, or you can have it start like slow and then get better as you listen to it. And I think that's practically the best way to do it, because that's the way that your listeners aren't going to get annoyed with it.
And that's a lot of, for me, what the Rockman and Forte music was.
Right.
I remember as a kid, I mean, because I played the ROM of it, so I remember hearing like the opening stage and stuff a lot, liking it, but then it wasn't until like kind of when we got into this podcast I started going back to being like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because I think as for like a kid, like you don't have those same like jazz sensibilities, and you don't appreciate some of the subtleties.
Exactly. So we're going to move on now to, this will be fun, we're going to do two boss themes. We're going to do a boss themes of Will and then one of mine. So this is Will's, it's called Boss Theme.
Spoiler alert, Carl's is way better.
Oh, Will. It's hard to compare these two. Because mine is a final boss theme, and this is...
Okay, I think the final boss theme is like the best song that we're playing here today. In my opinion, it might be track of the week. Not necessarily like melodically, but it's so effective. Like,
okay, first we're going to talk about Will's boss theme, and which is really awesome. It's definitely, he was going for like a Metroid feel. Yeah. For me, it's a combination of NES Metroid and NES Zelda. It's a really kind of nice... Yep, it's a nice combination. I hear definitely Hip Tanaka influence in there, but I also hear a little bit of the of Kojiness. So here is Boss Theme. How fast that is. This is Boss Theme. I like how it has that little section where it has that transition material, and then it goes to double time, and then it keeps repeating this section. It doesn't go back like how it does before. Like, it just stays on that section, which is cool. For me, it reminds me of, like, the two layers of a boss. Like, you have the normal part of the boss, and all of a sudden, you think it's over, but then you have to fight, like, the next layer, and that's when it amps up. Like,
well,
that.
Yeah, another thing I was... It's almost kind of like in... I would think of, like, if Super Metroid was made for an 8-bit console, because one of my inspirations was actually Metroid, as he said. I actually wrote this song, and it was very neutral, and I didn't know what to do with it rhythmically. I just sort of had the chords and the melody, but I wanted to spice it up. So at first, my idea was, I want to make it like a Dr. Robotnik boss. Mm-hmm. And then I tried working with, because, like, Carl's really good with the VOPM, and he wasn't thinking it was working.
It didn't fit. I think eventually he realized, but, compositionally, what it had, it was much more of a Metroid quality.
Well, yeah, because what happened is then I sat on it for a while, and then I tried to do actually a Mario Brothers 3 thing with it. So I have a version on my computer where it's going dun 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 dun.
But I think this is the best option.
And then I finally settled on to go with, like, the Metroid style rhythmically, and I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I talked a little about this one earlier, but this is Final Boss from Sonic SC Volume 2. It's really cool. Like, a lot of fast-moving stuff, really demonic.
It's kind of modeled a little bit after the Sonic 3 Final Boss.
But it blows it out of the water by far. Way better.
Well, thanks, Will. So here is Final Boss.
God, that's awesome. That's the final boss. Just a few things I'd like to mention. I love how it starts off with boom, bah, bah, boom, bah, bah, mm-hmm. and then it just goes do-da-do-da, and, yep. and just really speeds up. This part right here, that crazy fast solo, and it...
One quick thing about these little ridiculously fast solo sections is actually, it's kind of a fun fact, I actually composed those about 500% slower, and I actually picked out each exact note in order to make it so I knew that, okay, this is actually a good melody that does fit with what the chords are doing, and then I sped it up like 1,000,000%, so that's why it sounds
great.
Just,
it's awesome. It's one of the most effective things about it. I love how it goes to this, like, almost like...
It goes back to the halftime,
yeah,
just for
half-time
a little bit.
Halftime feel. Oh, that's really... That's sick. But it is so demonic. It almost reminds me of, like, a Lex Luthor theme. Like, it's so over-the-top bad guy. It's perfect for, like, Robotnik. Because it's like, I don't know. That, awesome. There's something so inherently goofy about him as a villain. Of it's, like, so diabolical, making these grandiose robots and
uh-huh.
weapons.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But yet, like, a fat goofiness to, like, the music that... I love, and this is so badass, but at the same time, like, really goofy, because not only like really crazy, but also it gets really high up there, and it almost sounds like the Genesis would, like, burn out.
It's about to explode, yeah. Well, anyways, enough about that stuff. We're going to move on now to one of Marty's tracks. So this is from Super Giuseppe 1, and this is Underwater. So this, unlike Will's Underwater theme, this is, in fact, very heavily modeled after the actual Mario 1 Underwater theme. So here is Super Giuseppe 1 Underwater, composed by Marty Brueggemann. Thank you. That is Super Giuseppe 1 underwater theme. I love how the start of this song is actually the end. So if you notice, the last measure of the loop is technically the first, is what the loop starts with, right, which is such a great thing because it makes it come full circle, which is appropriate for underwater. But what I love is the bass. I mean, melodically, it's very Mario 1 influence, but what the bass is doing, the do-do-do-do-do-do, is much more Zelda than Mario 1. It really reminds me of the Zelda overworld theme, how he's going up on that diminished chord. It's this really similar thing that Koji did in the Zelda overworld. So for me, I'm hearing the bass has kind of Zelda qualities, but the main melody is obviously very Mario.
Right.
And awesome.
And I think he was inspired by like old like classical music, which is what Koji Kondo was trying to do when he made his underwater theme. One thing that I really like about the way that Marty made these is it actually makes it sound more like Koji Kondo than like what I did, because since I was inspired directly by him, I was just sort of doing my own thing because I naturally am drawn to those similar chords. But with Marty, he was going back to the music that literally inspired Koji Kondo.
Yeah, which is so cool to hear.
So it sounds so authentic to like the games that it's trying to emulate. I think mm-hmm. this piece is just awesome.
Yeah, it's an amazing piece. So we're going to move on now to possibly my favorite track of Will's that we're playing today. This is the last track we're going to play of his. This is End Credits. And definitely, again, very Koji, very Mario. For me, it's a combination of Mario 2 and 3 influence for the end credits, but this is just such a catchy melody. And similar to the Marty tracks we played, how he definitely evoked a lot of the show tune-y qualities, this is definitely has that as well. So here is End Credits.
Sweet. So that concludes our podcast for this week. We really hope that we know it's kind of a departure, but I hope you guys really enjoyed listening to this music that mm-hmm. we all love making so much. And it's cool to do something a little bit different on
the
podcast.
Yeah, and we just have such a great time sharing this with you guys. So we hope, hopefully just not anything else, you got a kick out of it. So.
Yeah, I know that some people might be listening to it and thinking, well, this is not exactly what I want to listen to in this podcast, but
in a lot of ways, I mean, I would say for the average person, a lot of the music we play is probably brand new that you've never heard. So I mean, this is just another new video game song you haven't heard.
Exactly. So once again, I hope you enjoyed it. The upcoming weeks to come, we got some really cool stuff happening on the podcast.
Yes, indeed.
And we hope to go out with a very significant bang. So once mm-hmm. again, feel free to like us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook.
Don't confuse them, Will.
Yeah, we're out there very much, so iTunes subscriptions.
We have a YouTube channel. We, of course, have
all
our blog
kinds of stuff.
Usual.
Oh, and why don't you take a look at what our Track of the Week video is today? Maybe it'll give a little hint as to what will be upcoming in a couple weeks.
Ooh, very sneaky. Very sneaky indeed. All right, we're going to play you out with a track of mine. This is kind of a more modern, spacey track. Again, for me, I was kind of trying to go for Koji-ish. It reminds me a little bit of Mario Galaxy. That was kind of what I was going for. So this is a really pretty, it's a good, nice closing track. This is called Floating Home. All right, guys, have a nice week. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Thank you.